1:06:40, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. And yesterday, Santa Rosa County Commission had their preliminary meeting, what you might think of as the agenda review, what they call the committee meeting for reasons that I still do not understand, but that's okay. Brad Baker always joins us the day after to help us understand what happened and what will be going on Thursday at the regular voting meeting. Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me again.
Always good to have you. Okay, let's start with the stuff I completely don't understand. Last night, Channel 3 was reporting, and I did not finish the meeting. I got about halfway through. The commissioners had just started talking about the Land Development Code Task Force, which I guess has now come back with its recommendations. And Colton Wright had made some kind of a comment to the effect that, look, we're not allowed to make changes to Land Development Code, but we're going to fight the state. We're going to do what we need to do, and, you know, we can hash it out later. What is he talking about? I had no idea that this was a problem, even. Can you explain this a little bit?
Yeah, so I called it creative legislation, and so I briefed the board on it, but it's basically Senate Bill 180, and let me pull it up so I can read a few of the things to you here. Basically, in Section 28, you know, initially at the top of the bill, it talks about if you're within 100 miles of landfall of a hurricane, you can't do these things. But then there's another paragraph that reads, each county listed in a federal disaster declaration for Hurricane Debby, Helene, or Milton, and each municipality with one of those counties may not propose or adopt any moratorium on construction, reconstruction, or redevelopment of any property damaged. But also it says, propose or adopt more restrictive or burdensome amendments to its comp plan or land development regulations, or propose or adopt more restrictive or burdensome procedures concerning review, approval, and issuance of site plans and development plans or development orders. So basically, and oh, by the way, it retros it all the way back to August 1st of 2024.
Good Lord.
So basically, that bill has prohibited any restrictive or more burdensome land development code changes.
Okay, so I want to say it back to you, and I want to make sure I want to make sure I get it right. So, in an effort to protect the ability of people to rebuild after the storms, it says that any county with a federal declaration of disaster as a result of any of these storms cannot, until October of next year, change its land development code in a way that would become more restrictive of development. And that basically puts a moratorium on making changes to your land development code. Even though we were nowhere near any of these hurricanes, we got sucked in by being named, because everybody got named, all 67 counties. And as a result of that, there's like this state moratorium slash preemption loophole that bans us right now from doing the things that the LDC is going to. Do I have this right?
That is correct, and it actually, the date is through October of 2027.
Oh, God. For two more years? Wow.
Correct.
Oh, wow. Okay, so what happens now? Because we are obviously trying to change the LDC. I mean, you know, Pensacola is working on LDC changes. They might not be big changes, but they're working on it. So, I mean, what has to happen? You know, I'm sure Tom Danhiser had an opinion about what to do going forward, but this is an insane restriction, in my opinion. How do we deal with this?
Well, part of the wording in there does allow any developer or builder who feels like there's more restrictive and burdensome applied to them, they can, you know, seek it through the legal chains. And then if the county is found liable for that, then we also have to pay their attorney fees. So,
oh,
I mean, it's an interesting.
This was never in the news. Nobody ever knew this was happening. I didn't know this was happening. Nobody. I've never heard a news story about this. This is crazy.
And
this
when
is
we
like.
Initially started tracking it, we were following the 100 miles, so we knew we didn't fall in there. And then you find this one paragraph, which I remember, you know, because they asked us to kind of be on standby for shelters, but.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't really think we were going to apply a declaration for Category B, which is really preparatory, so we could activate a shelter if South Florida, Central Florida needed to evacuate up here, that it would ever be used to prohibit us from local government managing local needs. And that's essentially what And I've been telling the board this for a year that every session legislation is trying to preempt local government more and more. I mean, there are things that luckily haven't passed in the last 2 years.
Right, right.
But there is an attempt to take away home rule to where the local governments have less control.
Wow. Okay, was it this legislative session last year's? What year did this go in?
It just went in.
Just went in. Wow.
July 1st.
Brad, you know, you and I talked the last time we had you on the show about the budget shortfall, and maybe it wasn't. I think we did. Anyway, I know we covered the budget discussion you guys had last week, or 2 weeks ago. The approach, as I understood it, was to delay some projects and take money from the reserves. Is that still the plan? Is that still what you guys are recommending?
That is. And, you know, I don't want anybody to think that, you know, Santa Rosa County is about to fold up or anything. We've been a very conservative county. We've got, you know, lots of money in our reserve account. Of course, we have $25 million flagged for disasters because that's only the right thing to do. You know, you have to be able to pay your contractors to move the debris and all that before you get any money back from the state or the federal government. But we still have roughly $19 million in the bank. But what the point that we were getting across was, you know, last year we ended up with just under $2 million. Less revenue than we spent. The trend is our revenues are down now. So we were just trying to make the board aware that, hey, you have a nice savings account, but if you're pledging recurring dollars against non-recurring revenue, you're going to end up without money in some year. So we and what we don't have the money for is the $45 million Berry Hill widening, the $26 million dollar, Chemucla one, the $155 million bridge. So that was the real point. I mean, we're not going to close up shop. We're going to still serve our citizens. We just have to be aware that, you know, we're spending a little bit out of our savings account. Every year it's going to deplete.
Well, and look, it's not just a nice idea to have literally a rainy day fund for emergencies. It's essential, in my opinion, to have a good, solid rainy day fund, and building one up and having it at the proper level to handle an emergency first spend like you were talking about is not optional. So, you know, spending into that in order to cover the shortfall of revenue versus expenditures is, you know, I mean, for $2 million for 1 year, okay, it's not the end of the world. But, you know, we're looking at what's the number we're looking at spending out of reserves for this year out of a total reserve?
We'll use about $12 million to balance the budget, which is not uncommon. A part of that falls in our lapse rate, you know, because we have to budget at 95% of our revenue. So we know that our county is pretty good at paying their taxes. So we know we're going to get probably 99% of that back. But last year was the first time we saw that the lapse rate didn't cover it. So that means our revenues are on a downward trend. Let's just be cautious in what we're doing, and when we're approving stuff that's going to have recurring, we got to be a little cautious. And that was we can't afford all the capital projects that we have on our list, so we don't need any more because we can't afford the ones we have.
Right. And pay raises, for example, as you say, a recurring fund or recurring cost is exactly the kind of thing you want to be cautious about because it's recurring. What is the current set aside money savings account?
We have just over $44 million. Of course, $25 million is designated as disaster and revenue stabilization. And the one thing other people don't realize, they think that the county gets all this money at one time. It trickles in. So when our new budget starts October 1st, we have a lot of bills that go out. You know, we have to pay the other elected officials their money so they can run their divisions, like the sheriff and all that. So we have to keep some level in the bank so we can run those first 3 months while the tax money comes in into the account. So that, you know, it's complicated, and they don't expect people to understand it all. But
well, I think people get the basic idea that was, you know, running a shortfall is not a long-term strategy. Right? Obviously,
it's not. It is not.
Hey, I don't want to really get into it too much, but I do think it's going to be a very interesting discussion about this conservation parcel. You know, the Colton Wright wants to use some money from TDT, some money from conservation money in order to, you know, basically leverage the availability of the private dollars to acquire this parcel. And it's going to be a conversation on Thursday, of course, when Kerry's back. And, you know, it looked like kind of a 2-2 lock on this one, and, you know, we'll see where he goes on it. The one thing I just wanted to clarify for people is they hear you talking about budget shortfall, and then they look at us spending money to acquire a piece of property with TDT and conservation money. And to some degree, that's budgeted money, but to some degree, it's TDT, which is, if they do it that way, that's money that can only be spent in very particular ways anyway. It's a different category or pot of money. And if I've said anything wrong, you tell me, but I've seen some really dumb things said online about this, and I kind of wanted to correct them about that. Is that fair?
Yeah, that is fair. And the TDT is specific money, and really because we don't generate more than $10 million a year, we're limited on what we can do with it, so we can't use it for infrastructure. And also, it has to be tied to a tourism project,
right,
or we have to advertise, come to Navarre Beach or come to Santa Rosa in tube or canoe and all that. So just looking for ways to diversify and use it for a project that has a benefit to not only locals but to tourists that come in to the area as well.
I think last thing, I actually had two things. We'll see if we'll get to the other one. But we're talking to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, of course, he was formerly the emergency manager for Escambia County and, you know, the hurricane guy, if you want to think of him that way.
Santa Rosa.
What's that? What did I say?
You said Escambia.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Santa Rosa. Sorry. I'm talking fast, getting my facts wrong. But just thinking about this horrific event in Texas, which we all know was an unbelievable tragedy. I can't even fathom that. I did want to ask you just briefly, the two things that caught my attention the most that are of relevance to us is, first of all, I had never known that there was a third level of flood alert for an emergency, and I didn't know how often that even gets mentioned. But the second one is, how should people in Santa Rosa think about this? Because I know my reaction when I hear that there's a, you know, a flood warning or a flood watch is, well, okay, that doesn't really affect me, or I'm not really much at risk. Well, a lot of people probably thought that in this case, and, you know, it turned out very badly. So I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about this a little bit, because I know the soil's different. I know we handle water differently, and that's important too. But, you know, put on your emergency manager hat for a second and just kind of talk to Santa Rosa County residents and Escambia County residents about how to think about floods here in our area.
Yeah, so I want to say it was maybe the 14 flooding was the first time that we ever used the flash flood emergency in our county. And that's when we were getting that 26 inches of rain in less than 24 hours. And we were, National Weather Service actually called me and said, hey, we have this new tool. We've never used it before in this area. What do you think? And I said, well, we're rescuing people from cars on Highway 90 and 98 right now. So yes, put it out. We have a tool called Alert Santa Rosa, and I think Escambia's got it as well in Okaloosa, but it's basically a pass-through, and you can check, like, for example, me, I put my house on it, I put my work on it, I put the UFC on it, addresses, and if there is an alert, because they've went to more of a polygon model, so you're not getting countywide blasts now, you can get, you know, specific for areas.
Okay.
And if there are any of those emergencies that hit any one of my three addresses, I get an alert on my phone, you know, and it tells you that. And there's some you can't even opt out of. For example, a tornado warning, which means a tornado is imminent for that area. You can't even opt out of that one.
Right.
There are other ones you can opt out. Like, I don't opt in for thunderstorms because I would get alert every day during the summer.
Right.
So, you know, we have that tool. I know many of them do. And that's a pass-through from the Weather Service. So they have to issue this. It just comes in our system. And if you're in Alert Santa Rosa, it passes it straight on to you. And, you know, they've created iPalls, you know, in the last couple of decades and really fine-tuned, because people use their phones for everything now.
Right.
So there's plenty of tools out there to get the alerts on your phone. But, of course, if you're in an area where you don't have service, you need some other means, like a weather radio.
Yeah.
It's going to trigger an alert if you're within that zone. So.
No, that's
but we
and
have
that's
used a, that flash flood emergency in Santa Rosa County.
Well, and that's a good note too, because of course North Santa Rosa, terrible cell service, and you know places where they might be more at risk, in an emergency, you know, when that's why you have the radio as well. No, that's good. I mean, that's a good tool. And I had not even heard of it. I didn't remember us using it in 2014. I'm sorry. You were going to say, Brad?
And I would say too, you get fatigue from all these warnings.
Yes, you do.
You know, every time we set a big one off, people will say, please take me off of this. I'm tired of getting them. So, I mean, that's a real thing. We have so much access to information now.
Yep.
That sometimes we get overloaded and we choose the wrong thing to get rid of.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. That overuse / fatigue, complacency, those are all factors. I don't have a great solution, but I agree with you. Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for explaining some things. Thanks for kind of blowing my mind by explaining the SB 180. We'll talk to you again soon, sir. Thank you for the work. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.